God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for others, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help us to glorify you tonight by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are on family afterwards. I'm doing a series on spiritual awakening at home. I did the first one a few days ago, and probably when people hear this podcast, I may have put both of those out. I'm probably going to take me two or three. And what is the spiritual awakening? What does the big book say about it? Why is it the result of the steps, and why do we need it? Tonight we're on family afterward. This is a chapter that isn't read a lot. It's called one of the lost chapters. And but the spiritual principles that we're supposed to practice in all our affairs are in the to wise family afterwards, to employers, and then a vision for you. How we relate to, and how people relate to us in relationships before we become sober and to wives, and then afterwards, in family afterwards, after we try to live a spiritual life, we'll work steps. Remember, this was written in 1939. The big book was called Alcoholics Anonymous. There were only three groups, and they were trying to give us a design for living that would work under any circumstance. Anybody think that's a good idea? Yeah. If you have a design for living that works, it's not this design, that's great. But if you don't have one, do this. Do what's in the book. Do the instructions in this book. The directions on what they did to recover from a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. And we're on page 127, and I made notes of the spiritual principles. And I found 30 spiritual principles, I think, in the rest of the chapter. And they talked in the beginning, and we covered that last time, about how when the alcoholic gets sober, we want to show everybody we're okay, right? So we want to get our financial situation back and prove the people that we're okay. And they talked about that, and it says, and the family can get frustrated with the alcoholic, but they said, at the top of 127, they should be thankful he's sober and able to be of the world once more. And let them praise his progress. And we need to praise people's progress when we're working with them, when we're working the steps. And we need to have praise for others in our lives and not look and to criticize. We want to see how they're doing the best they can, I'm doing the best I can. And it says, let them remember that his drinking wrought all kinds of damage that may take long to repair. And remember, the damage that we do with the people we love, it says we're like an alcoholic, it's like a tornado. We come out of the cellar and we say, isn't it great, Ma, the wind stopped blowing. And we can't see that we've destroyed the houses and the lives of the people around us. It says on page, I don't know, I used to have them all memorized. Anyway, it's one of those pages. It says, 83. It says there's a long period of reconstruction ahead, remember? And it says a remorseful mumbling that I'm sorry won't fill the bill. And we have to show people how we've changed by our actions. And then it says, each day we ask God to give me love, patience, and tolerance for the family, and I ask it for everyone in the world. How can I be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate to everybody I encounter? And the only way I can be that way is if I carry that vision into all my activities. And that's the vision of God's will for me, to be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate. God's will for me is not complicated. It's to practice his character, not my character. Now, I practice my character when I've made myself the center of the universe. Anybody else do that? But that doesn't work. So I have to stop that all the time. I don't know why we can't start out and be God's character, just stay that way all the time. But that's not the way he created us. And maybe the prodigal son is that he likes to see us come back. He wants to see us come back. He's always happy when we come back to him. And so it says, if they sense these things, they will not take so seriously. And this is the new alcoholics, periods of crankiness. Any of you cranky, depressed, or apathy, which will disappear when there is tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. Now, this is a great line. It's probably not read at any meeting I've ever been at. It says, if you sense these things, then you won't take serious the periods of the alcoholic when he may be cranky, depressed, or apathetic. And guess what? These moods will disappear when I give them tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. And so if I'm tolerant, love, and spiritually understanding, hey guys, 127, then the attitude of the alcoholic will change. If my wife's giving me the husband improvement course, but I'm tolerant, loving, and spiritually understanding, I know she will stop. That was a joke. You get it? You get it? She will stop. But if you react to them with your crankiness and your depression, it just gets worse. And so the only thing I can control is how I react to people. And remember, what you bring in is what you get. And what you be is how you do. So if I be tolerant, loving, spiritual understanding, then that will be reflected in my actions. So you see, there's just so much just in that one key line. And it says, the head of the house ought to remember that he is mainly to blame for what befell his home. Now, when you do your four step, you realize it's not them that was the problem, it was me. It was my resentment, it was my fear. It was my decisions made on self that I harmed people I loved and harmed myself. And it's still hard when you look back. You know, when you're retired, you have a lot of time to think, which isn't great for an alcoholic. But you'll recall like something happened when you were 21. You say, why'd I do that? And I said, well, you know, I was doing the best I could at the time. But you can see it. You can see. And it helps you practice the principles better today. The more you can see and understand what it looks like when you're separated from God, the less you want to do it. And it says he can scarcely square the account in his lifetime. Remember, there says there's some amends that you cannot fully write. Remember, it says that. So you have to be a living amends. To some people, that being sorry or whatever you say is not going to help. You have to show it in the way you live, in the way you treat them and treat others. He must see the danger of over-concentration on financial success. Like some people want to prove that they're okay because they still have low self-esteem and they still have excessive pride and they want people to think they're okay. But we learn over a while that financial success won't make me okay, that I can be okay even if I'm not financially successful, that what makes me okay is my relationship with God. And when I'm practicing his character, then I feel good. And so I think I had that drive. I think we all do, but you have to put it in perspective. After financial recovery is in the way for many of us, and this is really some key thoughts, we found we could not place money first. Remember, whatever you place ahead of God becomes your higher power. And so if you place money first, then if you're not getting what you think you need, then you're going to get resentment. And you're not letting God work in your life, or you're afraid you're not going to get what you need, then that triggers resentment, and then you're not running your life. You're running your life, and God's not. And really, what's running your life is your expectations of what you need to be okay. And so you don't want to make that mistake, because that's what got you to AA. And it says, for us, material well-being always follows spiritual progress. It never preceded. And if you ever listen to Chuck C, he talks about it, he's a very successful businessman. But when he became an alcoholic, at least came into the program, started working the steps, he saw his work differently. And he wasn't worried about how much he made on each sale. He did complicated design of supermarkets. And his change in his focus of service changed. And then he became even more successful. And you see that if you're not in conflict with everybody and everyone, you may be more successful. Isn't that true? And if you're acting love, patient, kind, tolerant, consider compassionate to everybody, they may want you to work for them, and they may want to reward you for that, and it'll be reflected in the way you do your job and the way you live your life. Since the home, so that's a key point. Material well-being always follows spiritual progress. Remember, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply will not recover if we put dependence on people ahead of dependence on God. It's got everything or nothing. What's the most important thing in your life? And really, if recovery is the most important thing in your life, then what's really the most important thing in your life is being obedient to the Lord. And how do I do that? I don't know how to do that except through the steps. By not being disobedient. And when I start to be disobedient, to stop. And say, oh, there you go, yeah, Michael, you want to be obedient. And remember, it's progress, not perfection. But in the 12 of 12, he talks about perfection. And so some people make a big deal, well, it's just progress. But we want to, the goal is our sanctification and perfection, which we don't get if you're a Christian till you die. But you want to grow in the process because that's the fruit of having the Holy Spirit in your life. He is not likely to get far in any direction if he fails to show unselfishness and love under his roof. You're not likely to get far in any direction, no matter what you're doing, if you're still unselfishness and you don't show love. We know they're difficult wives and families. Anybody think that's true? But guess what? They become less difficult the better we practice the principles. Right?
Yeah.
But the man who is getting over alcoholism must remember he did much to make them so. And that's the thing we don't realize, that we've beaten up the people we love. And then we have to remember they're suffering from a spiritual illness, and it said that in Two Wives and the family afterwards, that everybody who's affected becomes spiritually ill. They become spiritually ill because we become their higher power. And they're trying to change us, and then we're spiritually ill because we're our own higher power. And it says, as each member of a resentful family begins to see his shortcomings and admits them to others, he lays a basis for helpful discussion. And that's why I think it's important that the whole family practice the steps. And I haven't been to Al-Anon. I don't know if they practice the steps out of the big book. But if we're all trying to live these 12 steps and live a spiritual life, then our family life gets better. And then we see our shortcomings and we admit them to others rather than seeing theirs and telling them about theirs. Now, I could see their shortcomings and tell them about it. Never made my life better. I'm being funny, but it's true. It never did, right, Jimmy? Never does. And so I have to stop doing that. I have to look at my shortcoming is what am I short of? God's character. These family talks will be constructive if they can be carried on without heated argument, self-pity, self-justification, or resentful criticism. So you could substitute family talks with any talks, any interactions you're having with anyone. Or it's always going to get better if you're not in self-pity, self-justification, and resentful criticism. People don't like to have resentful criticism. They don't really appreciate it. Now, sometimes you can lovingly give suggestions to someone, but what is your motive when you're doing that? It's out of love and out of maybe helping them live their life better, not criticizing them so I feel better about myself and judging them. And so this could be take the, don't see the speck in their eye, take the plank out of mine. And you know, they talked about the Sermon on the Mount was one of the things that the founders used when they wrote the book. And these principles we're talking about are all in the Sermon of the Mount, and they're all in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe. Little by little, mother and children will see they ask too much, and father will see he gives too little. Now, that could be true of all of relationships. Am I giving 100% to the relationship? Or am I thinking about it? And then here's the key point. Giving rather than getting will become the guiding principle. And we talk about that. What's our guiding, our real purpose in AA? What does it say? Our real purpose is to maximally fit myself spiritually so I can serve God and others. And that's our goal. Love and tolerance of others, service to God and others, being in fit spiritual condition. So what am I giving rather than getting? Now, when I'm worried about what I'm getting, what happens? You get resentful, right? Or you get afraid you're not getting it, and then you're upset. And so I need to fit myself so I can do that. And I want to be in fit spiritual condition. And how do you get in fit spiritual condition? Through prayer, meditation, inventorying all the time. And you could be in fit spiritual condition at 10 in the morning and a mess at noon. And so the steps are designed in 10 and 11, so we learn how to get unmessy quickly, and so that our days go smoother, and we have more peace, and we practice more love. And it says, and soon on the other hand, now here they're going to talk about people who go spiritually crazy. They come to AA and they become spiritual gurus. And instead of the person who's seeking financial success that shows, okay, they're showing how they're so spiritually fit. And that could be a problem too. It says, he has a stirring spiritual experience. Overnight, he's a different man. He becomes a religious enthusiasm. He is unable to focus on anything else. And I think what they're saying is that alcoholics, we tend to go off the deep end when we get into something. And they're going to talk about moderation, boundaries. As soon as his sobriety begins to be taken as a matter of course, the family may look at their strange new dad with apprehension and then with irritation. There's talk about spiritual matters morning, noon, and night. He may demand that the family find God in a hurry or exhibit amazing indifference to them and say he's above worldly considerations. He may tell mother who's been religious all her life that she doesn't know what it's all about. I'm sure that's really helpful. That she had better get his brand of spirituality while there is yet time. So they become experts on spiritual welfare, experts on what everybody should be doing. And that's no good either. Because guess what? That's not the way God wants us to be. When father takes his tack, the family may react unfavorably. Here's a great line. They may be jealous of a God who has stolen dad's affection. While grateful that he drinks no more, they may not like the idea that God has accomplished the miracle where they failed. Now, why wouldn't they like that? Because they're spiritually ill too. And they're upset that they couldn't fix him and that he wouldn't listen to me, and it has to be God. And that's because they're only seeing it through their eyes. But once they see that God's working in their life too, then it changes. They often forget father was beyond human aid. I think people forget that in AA, right? They forget that I'm beyond human aid. No human power can relieve our alcoholism. I was beyond human aid. I'm beyond human aid today. I can't make myself live a better life. I can't keep myself from drinking. I only have God to do that for me. He gives me the choice not to drink, and he keeps me from my selfishness, self-centeredness. How do we get rid of selfishness, self-centeredness? God makes it possible. I can't work on a self-improvement course. I could never do it. You know why? Because I had a sick mind. And a sick mind can't treat our sick mind. It has to come from somebody else's mind, from God. And it can come from other people. They may not see why their love and devotion did not straighten them down. Dad is not so spiritual after all. They say, you see, they're already upset with him. It means to right his past wrongs. Why all this concern for everyone in the world but his family? What about his talk that God will take care of them? They suspect Father's a bit balmy. He is not so imbalanced as they may think. And this is a really good paragraph coming up. Many of us have experienced Dad's elation. We have indulged in spiritual intoxication. And you feel that way when you're new and when you're starting to work the steps and when you're doing your fourth step and you've finished your fifth step and you're starting to feel differently. You become God conscious. And like a gaunt prospector, belt drawn in over the last out of food, our pick has struck gold. Isn't that true what happens for us? We're gaunt prospectors, we're running out of food, and then we put the pick in the ground and we strike gold. We find God. Joy at our release from a lifetime of frustration knew no bounds. I just remember when I gave up the first time and got on my knees, I felt better. I was still a mess and full of fear and all, but there was something that had worked in my heart. I didn't have to run the show anymore. I asked God to help me, and I was 100% willing to do anything. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. And there's nothing better than a relationship with God working in your life. There's nothing better than when I'm starting to get disturbed and I go to God and I say, please change the way I see it. Give me love and tolerance. They are who they are, blah, blah, blah. And it's just gone. I start to get a fear, which isn't true. I'm sitting in my chair, I get some screwball fear. And I say, well, it's not even happening. God, keep me in the now. And I laugh at myself when I do that because it's such a waste of time. But I thought fear was necessary because I needed to be on the watch for everything I needed to worry about so I could anticipate and take the right actions. And all I did was make my life worse and make everybody miserable. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. He may not see at once that he's barely scratched a limitless load. But here's the deal, which will pay dividends only if he minds it for the rest of his life. So when you come in and you feel great and things are going good and you've done some step work, if you don't keep doing it and insist on giving away, it's not gonna keep paying you dividends. It has to be a continuous program of recovery. Has anybody heard that before? Continuous. 1 through 12, all the time. You have to take step one every day. How do you know if you're doing step one every day? Did you pray when you woke up? Did you ask God to help you? Do you thank him at night? Do you realize that without God, you're just going to screw up all day? Now, in the beginning, I screwed up a lot. I probably screwed up some today. I can't remember. I'm old. But we see it differently. We start seeing it differently because we're seeking God. And it says, and you know, remember, warning, I wrote warning, don't stop mining. Keep digging, keep moving on. MLJ Stu, he would shake everybody's hands and he would say, keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep seeking God. It doesn't say God can and will if he has sought one time, right? It says God can and will if he sought. It has to be constant seeking. If the family cooperates, Dad will soon see that he's suffering from a distortion of values. It's better for Dad to see it than the family to tell him, though. You see, because then Dad will react and he'll just get defensive. He will perceive that his spiritual growth is lopsided. That's why you need a sponsor. You need somebody to talk to all the time. So you can tell him the crap in your head. So you can see it's truth. And it says that for an average man like himself, a spiritual life which does not include his family obligations may not be so perfect after all. You know, people text me, you know, they can't come tonight because their family is. I said, first things first. You know, you have to do your obligations, enjoy your family. You know, I hear people complaining about this and that, but you know, I lost my son 14 years ago today, and I'd give anything to have him back, just to see him and talk to him again. But you have to enjoy what you have, because you don't. It's so precious. And so I always encourage people that I'm that are my friends and all. Family obligations have to come first, because that's what they're depending on you. The family will appreciate the dad's current behaviors, but a phase of his development, all will be well. And they say the vagaries of dad's spiritual infancy will quickly disappear. We hope so. But as he grows spiritually, he'll change. And you remember in the beginning, we don't know how to live a spiritual life. We make a lot of mistakes. And it takes time, and we can't be too hard on ourselves. What does it say we do at night? We look for where we were selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid. And were we kind and loving to all? Of course not. Were we thinking of ourselves all the time? Probably. It says we don't get too hard on ourselves. Was I kind and loving to all? Look at the questions you have to ask yourself. And then it says we don't want to get into morbid reflection, because that would diminish our usefulness to others. And then we ask God's forgiveness every night. And I say, show me what corrective measures need to be taken. And so I'll go to sleep. And hopefully when I wake up, I'll practice those corrective measures. So we want God to show us the corrective measures. And we ask God's forgiveness. We don't want to be too hard on ourselves. It's tough living a spiritual life. It's not easy. It says it's simple, but not easy. It meets the destruction of self-centeredness. That's what Bill said. Page 14. And we have to destroy our self-centeredness all the time. Isn't that a whatever? Why do we have to be self-centered? But that's the way we're made. But we don't have to practice it, because we have a power now in our lives. It says, the opposite may happen if the family condemns and criticizes. Dad may feel that for years his drinking had placed him on the wrong side of every argument, but that now he has become a superior person with God on his side. And if the family persists in criticizing him, then he'll still think he's a superior person, which is no good either, right? Instead of treating the family as should, he may retreat further into himself and feel he has spiritual justification for so doing. When you start to justify yourself spiritually, you're in deep trouble, because then you're headed for resentment and separation from God. And that's the danger of not being love, patient, tolerant, kind, considered, compassion. And remember, you get back what you bring. And it says they should let Dad have his head, even if he displays a certain amount of neglect and irresponsibility towards the family. It is well to let him go as far as he likes in helping other alcoholics. During those first days of convalescence, this will do more to ensure his sobriety than anything else. And you see, that's mentioned several times in the book, that to get out of yourself, resolutely turn your thoughts to those you can help. Work with another alcoholic will save the day. Why? Because you're focusing on someone beside yourself. You're trying to be of service to someone. And it's so important. Doesn't mean you have to do it good or bad. There's no good or bad to this. But as long as your motives are good, and motives of loving and helping people, it's going to be good for you. And then here's another principle. It says on 130, we think Dad will be on a firmer foundation than the man who is placing business or professional success ahead of spiritual development. He will be less likely to drink again, and anything is preferable to that. So in other words, the people who are really getting into the spirituality and going to a lot of meetings and really getting involved in AA, that's okay in the beginning. That's okay. That may be what he needs. And then he'll talk about it and talk about his relationship with God. That's great. So the family has to be understanding. But at some point, he has to get the balance. You don't need to do a meeting a day for the rest of your life. That may be a little much, because you have to live in the world. You're going to have responsibilities. And then here's it. Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childishness of it. This dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose. So you see, we live in this spiritual world and we're trying to do all this, but we really want to have a sense of purpose accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. Now here's a few lines that are quoted a lot. We have come to believe he would like us to keep our head in the clouds with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth. Isn't that a great line? That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work will be done. So doing God's work isn't in some intellectual way all the time up there. It's what are you doing with his children? How are you serving him and his children? What are you doing in the world? We don't want to sit there and quote scripture all day long to people. We want to be the character of God. These are the realities with us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual life and experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. I think we'll stop there. Is that okay? All right. And so, stop with that. A lot of spiritual principles in that, wasn't there? There's a lot in this chapter, so thank you.